left off last week. And that is the passage in the book of Jude. It has one chapter, and somewhere about verse 2 or 3, that talks about the common salvation. We pointed out in last week's lesson that while inspiration, while heaven guided the inspired writer to so describe our salvation with the word common, in the normal use of that word, our salvation is everything but common. That is, in the normal use of the word common, we pointed out that the word common, that is the original Hebrew word koine, means unholy. The word means profane. The word mean defile, and it means unclean. The word is translated various places in the New Testament with that meaning. But the meaning that it carries in the usage in places like Jew is common in the sense that it is participated in by all jointly. It is participated in by all those who become a part of the gospel. In obedience, all of them participated the same way. It means, you know, we use the word share and share alike. That's the idea in the word common here. For example, when the word is used in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, and I think it is verse 44. Let us hear that passage.
And all that believed.
All that believed.
Were together.
Were together.
And had all things common.
Had all things common. That means all the Christians, some 3,000 people became Christian on Pentecost. And a lot of them stayed back in Jerusalem. Of course, part of that staying back was out of ignorance. They felt probably that judgment would be coming within a few days from then. And what. But they stayed back. And therefore, their very meal, the things that they ate, all of them participated. Not only the things that they ate, what the church was doing in Jerusalem, going from house to house and all of these things, they participated equally, everyone. That's the idea that we are going on today. May I? that this salvation is not in the usual meaning of the word common, that is unholy or defiled or cheap, is the fact that no other life, no other blood could purchase this salvation but that of Jesus Christ. That shows, when the Bible describes it as so great a salvation, you need just one thing. You know, a lot of times when you hear about a piece of art, a painting that is so familiar, and I think just this week, I was watching the television and it mentioned this piece of painting that fetched millions of dollars. Then you know the masterpiece that it is. Well, if you ever want to know how valuable, how unique, how precious, how priceless our salvation is, just look on what it takes to bring it. Just look at Jesus Christ. No animal blood could bring this salvation. And that's why all the great men and women of the Old Testament, for their final and real forgiveness, they had to wait until Jesus Christ died and was resurrected. Did you hear that? I said all the Old Testament characters, they were never truly forgiven. Wait, Brother Mitchell, let me see if I understand you. You mean men like Abraham, who lived probably some 2,000 years with his animal sacrifice, and that is 2,000 years before Jesus Christ, and men like Isaac and Jacob, who lived some 1,500 years before Jesus Christ, and men like Moses, who lived some 1,300 years before Jesus. Are you telling me that their sin, with all the animal sacrifice and with all their commitment, are you telling me that they were never forgiven until Jesus Christ came? That's exactly what I'm telling you. And I'm telling you that for you to assess that the salvation to which you and myself have access, it's not a cheap salvation, and that it is not common in the normal meaning of the word common. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. But Brother Mitchell, I know a lady in my district, that woman is so godly and pure. I have news for you. That woman needs the blood of Christ for her forgiveness. That's right. Only the blood of Christ. So we go on to point out some other ways in which this salvation is common. Common in the sense, because remember the emphasis in the book of Jude, it has one chapter, verse 2 and 3. The emphasis there is on the fact that everyone share in it the same way. And this is important. Why important, Brother Mitchell? Because it's important in the sense, we're coming to that. You cannot be a part of this salvation, you and I belong to my church and you belong to yours. That's right. Because it's common salvation, meaning all of us must belong to the same church. And we are getting to that. That's part of the implication, you know. In fact, let us continue where we left off last week. Our salvation in Christ is common because that salvation alone meets the spiritual and the eternal need of every man and every woman. Only that which Jesus Christ did at Calvary, that's the only thing. Wait. Not that which Muhammad did. He didn't do it. In fact, sorry, not that Muhammad didn't do anything for man's salvation. He messed up your mind. That's right. Mrs. Ellen G. White, she messed up your mind. Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormons, they messed up our minds. You know why? Joseph Smith create another Bible. They call it the other. The other testament. There is one testament by which we are to live, and that is the testament of Christ. The word testament means will. That's right. In fact, let me show you something. Joseph Smith's testament was in existence while he was alive. Watch here now. The Bible tells us that testaments are not valid until after the person is dead. That's a legal principle, that when you make your will, it has no validity legally until you are dead. That's right. But Joseph Smith, Jesus Christ's testament, the gospel, the New Testament, became effective after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But these men who are founders of Bible and churches, they mess up the world religiously. And it going to take members of the Lord's church to enlighten them. We have a lot on our hands to do. Yes, sir, only in Jesus Christ. The song go, only in thee, Savior mine. Yes, only in Jesus Christ can our spiritual and eternal need be met. And that is every man and every woman without exception. As I've said last week, Jesus Christ is the only doctor in town. That is, the only one in town to deal with our sin disease. So if you don't like him, then you are in a lot of trouble. And if you do not like his medication, that's right. And you know, a lot of people don't like Christ's medicine. But that's the only one. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean by his medicine? His teaching. That's right. Only, in fact, run to the book of Isaiah chapter 55, 1 through 4. Run to the book of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Run to the book of Revelation 22, 16 through 17. I want those passages in the order given. The first one is Isaiah 55. What are you saying, Brother Mitchell? That the need created by sin is expressed in many ways. The fact is that need exists, and only Jesus Christ and his salvation can meet our spiritual and eternal need. Let us hear the passage of Isaiah 55.
Oh, everyone.
And he's talking about our eternal salvation. Let us hear it, brother.
Oh, Everyone that thirsteth.
Everyone that thirsteth. Wait. Jonathan, did you know the thirst there don't refer to water thirst? It's talking about man's need. When you need Jesus Christ, it's like a man in the desert thirsty. That's right. And if you're not a Christian, you need Christ. Not tomorrow, not next year. You need him now. And here the Bible is describing, as I've said, the need created by sin is described in many ways in the Bible. This is one way. Isaiah was talking about the coming of Christ in this passage. Start again, brother.
Who? Everyone that thirsteth.
Everyone that thirsteth.
Come ye to the waters.
Come ye to the water.
And he that hath no money.
And you that have no money.
Come ye.
I like this. Because this is not a water you can buy with money. This is talk about eternal salvation in Christ. There is nothing man put together that can buy or pay for this salvation. Come you without money.
Wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, God is good, gracious, kind, and wise. The Almighty God knew that we would not have the wherewithal to pay for this salvation. So he paid for it through Jesus Christ at Calvary. Come, buy.
And eat.
And eat.
Yea. Come.
Come!
Buy wine and milk without
money. Buy wine and milk without?
Without money.
Now, you see, when the Bible says you are, we are without excuse, do you get it? That we are without excuse? When we come up with all sort of excuse why we are not ready to become Christian and all of that, no, so God has done the greatest part in sending Jesus Christ to Calvary. Remember, we are talking about this common salvation and the fact that man's every spiritual and eternal needs are met in Jesus Christ. Isaiah is describing a little of it here. Buy
wine and milk.
Uh-huh.
Without money.
Uh-huh.
And without price.
Uh-huh. Now, don't go stopping at the supermarket today to get your bottle of wine. It's not talking about alcoholic wine. The passage is talking about your salvation. Read on.
Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread?
That's right. Read that again.
Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread?
The word wherefore means why do you spend money? And bread there stands for satisfaction. Why do you spend money for that which does not satisfy? Why do you put out so much effort for that which does not satisfy? Read on.
And your labor for that which satisfieth not?
And why do you make so much sacrifice? For that which does not satisfy. Watch here now, the swing. And that which does satisfy your life in Jesus Christ and with Christ, you put out so little effort or none. Do you get the point? That's what Brother Webb and myself, we are and in the radio program, when the Bible says, God is a rewarder to who? Them that seek him, not just them that seek him. But them that seek him, how? Diligently. You have to seek God a particular way. You have to be putting out real effort to know Christ, to know his will, to know his truth. You know what came to me this morning, as most of us were, the rain was coming down. When I shake there in bed in the 5-6 o'clock. It was raining. And I said, it seems it's going to rain. And now when I get up and go to shower, it was raining. And you know what came to me is that many members are members who want to come out not going to be able to make it. Watch here now, no? But what come to me is that when it's raining tomorrow morning, those same members going to find a way to get to work. Truly. You see, we need to really assess our value system. We look for every excuse to shortchange God. Read on, brother.
Hearken diligently unto me.
What verse is that?
Verse 2.
Read on. He said, listen, hearken, means to listen carefully to me.
And eat ye that which is good.
Eat what it is. All this, you know, it's talk about our spiritual life in Christ. Read on.
And let your soul delight itself.
You see, not your body. Let your soul delight in
fatness.
Read on.
Incline your ear.
Incline your ears, which means learn about God's salvation. Read on.
And come unto me.
Come unto me.
Here, and your soul shall live.
You notice the emphasis is put not on the body, but the soul. That is our spiritual part. Your soul shall live. Read on.
And I will make an everlasting covenant with you.
God wants to make an everlasting agreement with us. But he's depending on you. In fact, God has already shown the first initiative in Christ. You now must make the other initiative. Read on, brother.
Even the sure mercies of David.
You see, and this is talk about Christ, the sure mercies of David. God wants to show mercy to you. You need mercy because you have sinned. Read on.
Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people.
Jesus Christ is our leader, he is our commander. This passage is describing that in Jesus Christ, our spiritual and eternal need is met. Here another passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me.
All ye that labor.
Come unto me, all ye that labor.
And are heavy laden.
And you're tired.
And I will give you rest.
Christ says, I will give you rest. Wait, as I've said here for many years, that there is no burden so heavy as that of sin. None. Jesus Christ wants to ease us of that burden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Read.
Take my yoke upon you.
Take my burden upon you.
And learn of me.
Learn! The Christian religion is a taught religion. You have to learn about Christ. That's why you do not get up and miraculously you are Christian. No, you have to be taught. Learn of me. Read on.
For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Notice again, the rest is not so much for your body, but for your soul. What verse is that?
That's 29.
Read on.
For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
The Almighty God in Christ never give us more than we can bear. And he give us the strength to bear it. Revelation chapter 22, 16 through 17.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David.
I am the root. I'm the offspring of David. That's what Jesus Christ said. And that's what the Old Testament passage said. And read.
And the bright and morning star.
Jesus Christ is the bright and he's the morning star.
And the Spirit and the bride say.
Wait. Watch here. The Spirit. The Spirit and
the bride.
Bride. See, this is the church. It's both the Holy Spirit and the church of Christ. Is extending an invitation saying, come. Remember always when you read this passage in Revelation 22, the bride here is the bride of Christ, the church. No, I've forgotten what I want to say. I just want you to think because I'm about to give you another little piece of brata. You know how many brides he has? One. Meaning, Mr. Mitchell, Christ does not have 500 different denominations or churches. He has one bride, one true church. And the Spirit and the bride says, come.
And let him that heareth stay.
And let the person who listened to God's word
say,
become a part of God's family and join in those who are extending the invitation and says,
come.
Come.
And let him that is athirst come.
Let him that is athirst come.
And whosoever will. Let him take the water of life freely.
This is a wonderful passage. Because in this passage we see the love and the mercy of God reaching out to humanity. Notice how many times the passage talk about come. Come. That's invitation from the Almighty God, from the Holy Spirit, from the church. Come and give your life to Christ to be a part of this common salvation. What verse is that?
End of 17.
Okay. So ladies, you know another thing? When we read Isaiah, may I, and this is for Christian as well as non-Christian, there is no way that you can find life fulfillment, the necessary peace and equanimity in your life if you are not a child of God. We may go through life. May I? And you might be economically successful. You might be educationally successful. You might be politically successful. You might be socially successful. All of that. But to have your life fulfilled, living a life that is meaningful and peace within yourself, that is impossible if you are not a child of God. I was about to bring again, because I always like the way he says it, and that is C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. When he pointed out that man, from when not when, has been trying to find peace without God. C.S. Lewis says that God is the fuel our soul was made to run on. There can be no peace without God. So when you see men and women who have everything that you think if you ever have it, you would be in heaven already, and they are still miserable, that is a lesson to you and me. This guy here, called Melchizedek, the priest, according to the passage in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Read the passage for us, brother. Read the passage.
For this Melchizedek.
What we're talking about, that all your needs, your spiritual and eternal need, are met in Christ. Watch it. And until you address your God relation part, your spiritual and eternal need, your life will always be lacking. That's right. Listen.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by...
Wait. What, brother?
First being by interpretation, king of righteousness.
Watch here. G-I-N-G, king of righteousness. No. I find it. And read on.
And after that also.
Wait. Take time with me. Okay, I write it. Come on, later. Take time with me, brother. I'm very slow. Yes. After that, brother, wait. That is, after that what? King of?
After king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace.
Brother, wait. Of necessity, he had to first be king of?
Righteousness.
Before he could be king of?
Peace.
Peace. Notice the Bible didn't just leave it open for us to sci-fi it out. It tells you first, king of
righteousness.
And after being king of righteousness, that's how he could become king of peace. Telling us you can never have true peace.
Amen.
Until after you have righteousness.
Amen.
Never. In fact, I was tempted to go to about two or three other passages in the Old Testament which authenticate this fact, that righteousness and a right relationship with God through Christ is imperative if you are going to have peace with yourself. Why are you so miserable? If the person is really a miserable, a discontented person, it shows that something is wrong, yaso. That's right. Truly. People who, they are just miserable. They seem not to have the peace that they are to have. Wrong. Dear Lord, and with God. Truly, we cannot have a peaceful self and peace with others and peace with things, money, etc. Wait, you can have peace with money, Brother Mitchell? Yes. Where you do not let it rule you. You do not let it make you miserable. You cannot have peace with those if you do not. And let me put the first there, you know. It's God. First king of righteousness. Righteousness, right relationship with God through Christ is imperative before you have peace with self, others, and with things. We'll talk about the common salvation. Our salvation is common because it offers, watch here, the salvation available in Jesus Christ offers forgiveness, cleansing, sanctification, and eternal peace on the same term to every man and woman. Every man and woman must become Christian the very same way. That's why this salvation is common. It has one set of condition that every sinner must meet, Jews and Gentiles. And it's important that members of the Lord's church get this. Your coworker that you are so close to and respect at work, and you cannot become a Christian differently, and both of you are Christian. That's impossible. That's impossible. Both of you have to become Christian the same way, meeting the very same condition, obeying the same rule. That's why it is the salvation is called common. It is sheer and sheer alike. Sheer in the terms and conditions for forgiveness. That's right. Watch here. Look at Acts 59.
And put no difference between us.
And look at 1 Corinthians 4:17. And look at Romans 10:12. Quick, brother.
And put no difference between us and them.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that.
And put
the Almighty God put no difference between Jew and Gentile. And this was in respect to how they became Christian, how they lived the Christian life, what church they belong to. Eh? We are just dealing with one aspect now. The terms by which they became God's people. God put no difference. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, when you find anybody, friends, co-workers, neighbor, in, out of your family, that became a Christian differently from the way you became a Christian, you need to find out where is something wrong. Because that is not in keeping with the common salvation. And put no difference between them and
us. Purifying their hearts by faith.
Mm-hmm. You hear that? May I? No difference. Look at 1 Corinthians or Romans, anyone. It can be Romans 10:12 or 1 Corinthians 4:17.
17?
Yes.
For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus,
mm-hmm.
who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church.
Of my ways. And Paul is saying it's not really mine. It's the way of salvation that is in Christ. And Paul said, I teach this way.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
In every church.
In every church. Not teach different doctrine. No, sir. That is not God. Look at Acts of the Apostle. Romans, rather, 3:22. Let us hear it.
Romans 3:22,
mm-hmm.
even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe.
You hear? The righteousness of God, it comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It is like those two all. Let me hear them again.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all.
It is, wait, notice, it is unto all. And that is the invitation to be a part of this salvation goes out to every man and every woman. And there's another all there.
Upon all. Upon all then.
And it is upon all. That is those who accept it. No difference.
For there is no difference.
You all hear that? No difference. There's so much difference. Oh, Lord. There are so many areas that I can get into that let me. It's not just in how we became Christian that there are vast differences. How we worship, there is a vast difference. How we live as Christian. One church will tell you that if you eat a piece of pork, you sin. When nothing in the gospel, in fact, the gospel teaches the very opposite. So what I'm saying, there is so much difference, but that is not of God. Why? He gives us a salvation that is common. Meaning, everyone will embrace the same thing. I need not read to you, it may come up in a few minutes if we have the time. We are told that all of us should walk by different rules. Sorry. Didn't say different rule, no? Same rule. I'm quoting from the book of Philippians chapter 3 and I think verse 16, but we won't read it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we may have time only for this last point, that our salvation in Christ is common because all must obey the very same. Now, this sounds like the very thing I've just repeated, and let me repeat what I've just repeated, because it offers forgiveness, cleansing, sanctification, and eternal life on the same term to everyone. On the same terms to everyone. Now, in more detail, our salvation is common. This is one of the reasons it is described as common, because all must obey the very same terms and condition. From the very same source. That's important, you know. The Bible tells us that we must be careful what we hear and from whom we hear it. So it's not just that we should obey the same thing. It must be from the same source. Let us hear Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. And now Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Peter 1, 17. Let us hear it.
Acts 10, 34.
Uh-huh.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons."
May our brothers and sisters, simple terms like that, God is no respecter of person. May I? What, as simple as that term is, it has lesson in it for us. It means the Almighty God doesn't deal with one person on this basis and deal with that person on that basis. That's why the salvation is common. That he is no respecter of person. That I am the richest man in the world, God does not deal with me on that basis. That I am the most educated person on this planet, God does not take that into consideration. He has his condition for my forgiveness, and he has his condition for my continual living in fellowship with him. My status here, what I achieve here, does not sway God one way or the other. Read, no brother.
But in every nation, he that feareth him,
the man, the woman who fears God,
and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him.
Is accepted with God. That's 34, 35.
Yes.
Philippians 3, in fact, yes, and then Timothy 6, 7.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained,
mm-hmm.
let us walk by the same rule.
Everybody gets that. That's why it is a common salvation. We must walk not by different church rule, but by the same rule.
Let us mind the same thing.
Mind the same thing. Let us hear Timothy, 1 Timothy 6. Let me hear from verse 3.
If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Brother Jonathan, you teach otherwise. I come to you with my Methodist doctrine, teaching. The other man come with his Roman Catholic teaching. The other man come with his Seventh-day Adventist teaching. The other man come with his Jehovah Witness teaching. The other man come with his Pentecostal teaching. You hear what the passage just says? If any man teach otherwise. Otherwise from what? Holy Spirit. And consent not to wholesome word. But Holy Spirit. Different people have different concept as to what is wholesome word. So the Holy Spirit now going to straighten out. Wholesome word.
Even the words.
Even the word of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And to the
that is not found in our dreams. It's found in the gospel. And what the Bible says, any man who goes outside of Jesus' teaching, further down it's going to tell you to withdraw fellowship from that person. Don't have any Christian fellowship with that person. Are we there? May I watch here now? This we're going to just, there's a case here we're going to read. Of two sinners, one of them is a deeply religious, well, both of them are deeply religious, but one of them, from the outset, you can see that the man is evil. We'll have to close with this. Brother Fisher, Acts chapter 10, 43, Brother Webb, Acts 22, 10.
Acts 10, 43.
Hold it. I'm using this as an illustration. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get this. To just show you that God has one common plan of salvation for every man. Here we are dealing first, notice with me here now, first with a good man. From almost any social or religious or ethical or moral standard, Cornelius was a good man, a kind man. He was a deeply religious person. Now, notice, as a part of his salvation, read me verse 43 and then verse 47, brother.
To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Whosoever believe in Jesus Christ. Wait. This does not mean mere belief. It means the belief which carries obedience. When you believe and obey, you will get salvation. Now, this is a good man. Most of us here know about Cornelius. He was deeply religious. He was respected by his family and his community. He was told to send for the preacher Peter, and Peter would tell him what to do to be saved. Step down, brother, to verse 47.
Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well?
Can any hinder these from water in which they will be baptized? So notice, this man was baptized that very same day. This is the good man that still need Christ in spite of his goodness. This is the deeply religious man that still needed Christ in spite of his deeply religiousness. But now let us now look on a wicked murderer in the person of Saul. He was an injurious person from his own mouth. He was a murdering man. He sat and when people are stoned Christian to death, he said, throw their garment, throw your over garment here, me holy. Now watch now if God had a different rule for salvation for this man. Verse 10 of 22.
And I said, what shall I do, Lord?
Uh-huh.
And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do.
Now the plan of salvation is things that are appointed by God, appointed for thee to do. They are inescapable. Then step down now to verse 15 following.
For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of that which thou hast seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And now, why tarriest
thou? Wait. It's the preacher talking, you know. The Almighty God in the vision had sent Paul on a street called Straight. You know, I find that most appropriate. The man who need to be straightened out was sent on a street by that name, Straight. The preacher came and met him on the street called Straight. The preacher said, why are you waiting? Right. Who was it? Saul. Injurious. Murdering Saul. Killing Christian. Why? Brother Wade?
Why tarriest thou?
Why wait?
Arise.
Get up.
And be baptized.
And get baptized.
And wash away thy sins.
Do you notice the very same step that Cornelius, the good, deeply religious man, was commanded to take? The very same step that Saul, the murderous, injurious man, was commanded to take. The Almighty God did not have two rules for the two of them. The same rule. Every one of us must obey the same terms because the salvation is common. We're going to stop here. Hopefully, at another time, our salvation in Christ is common because all race, nationalities, family, community must be saved in one and the same institution. We don't have time to get into that today. Our salvation in Christ is common because there is but one faith. We won't have time to get into that today. And the final point I had hoped to discuss with you, we will not have time to get into that. Our salvation is common because there is shared obligation and responsibility once we have accepted this salvation. That is, once we become a Christian, there is responsibility for each one of us. But we won't have time to get into that today. Suffice it to say, yes, in fact, our salvation from the point of view that all of us have to submit to the very same thing, our salvation is, in fact, a common salvation. You can become a part of this salvation today. It's not from me, it's from Jesus Christ. Remember, you can never be at peace with self and others and things if you are not first at peace with God. Righteousness must be in place before peace can be there. As we stand, Christ called you. He called